What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The one and only Darren Green Show. And just like that, we're back again with the Darren Green Show, your weekly dose of pop culture news, music, social media gossip, and reality TV. Please be sure that if you are watching this on YouTube to leave your thoughts in the comments. I cannot stress this enough. They recommend videos that have a lot of comments. Put an emoji on there, curse me out, say what you got to say. Just please comment below. And also, if you like the video, if you like the podcast episode, or you like me, child, go ahead and like this video. And also, if you're not already subscribed to the channel, girl, what are we doing? Subscribe to that goddamn channel. And that goes for YouTube and also the audio podcast listeners, whether that means following on Spotify or subscribing on the Apple Podcasts and from wherever you're listening from. Hey, all y'all listeners, please also leave a rate and review because we love those. And yeah, we are back up in this gig, okay? There are some things that I want to get into. I've had just an interesting, I always say I had an interesting week, child. This week definitely tested me spiritually. It tested me on so many levels, okay? I'm going to keep my thing brief because we don't have to get into details. Just to make a long story short, you're going to see a lot of me in the coming of days. We're going to do a lot more content as I have a lot more time because of the unfortunate events, honey. There just has been a shift in my employment. And I was fueled with a lot of thoughts last week. And I told my best friend, this is a throwaway sidebar, like, I told my best friend that I had cooked grits for the first time in years because, and I didn't explain why. I'm just going to explain why now. But, like, during that time of after the situation that happened, it's just like my mind was just, like, racing. Like I said, I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, a lot of bad thoughts, a lot of good thoughts, this, that, and the third. And I said, you know what? Let me just cook some grits, honey. And I might have to be speaking to my black listeners, child. When you cooking some good old grits, honey, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. It's not like when you cook your regular breakfast, you know, eggs, bacon, this, that, and the third. I'm not, we doing a whole sidebar on breakfast, child, but I had no time to think while I was cooking the grits because I'm like, okay, I got to make sure I got to put the seasoning on here. I got to make sure I'm stirring it enough. I got to make sure it's not popping and freaking doing all the weird stuff that grits do. So it kept me very much grounded in my mind. Okay, let me just focus on that for a little bit. So yeah, I cooked grits just for that reason, just to get my mind off of the thoughts that I was having. And I also started reading more. And I guess the cure or some variation of a cure to how I was just feeling was I was making content. I was writing. And that's something that I love to do. There's a lot that I can say. There's a lot that I can do legally. If we want to keep it all the way, you get what I'm saying? But it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I was going to get on here and crash out. I was about to name names and whoop-de-whoop and all that other stuff. But it's just, it really is not worth it. As I further looked onto this experience and at this place that I was at, that we're going to keep it nameless, I at the end of the day, even though it's a toxic environment, I think that small businesses should also not be scrutinized because they are small businesses and that is messed up. It's crazy how I'm taking this route. I'm being the bigger person and I'm being the person that is being professional right now when there was no professionalism at all in this environment. But you know what? I digress. All that time, it just, I started to realize things. And in the grand scheme of a lot of it, this happened for a reason. This needed to happen, actually. I wish I was able to jump ship, which I was trying to do, but the job market's trash. It would have definitely alleviated all this. But, and I don't mean this to be too, like, inconspicuous and not really tell y'all what I'm talking about. I'm going to table everything in a minute. But when I put on my community tab the other day saying, oh, rejection is God and or the universe is wherever you believe in, it's protection. I just realized, like, I was in an environment with people that did not want me there. They did not want to see me there. Somebody else that doesn't even work there anymore hired me and advocated for me to be there. And after all those people that advocated for me to be there was gone, there was no reason for me to be there. I was around people that did not want me there. It had nothing to do with what I did wrong or what. And that's what I want you guys to think about, like, when it has to do with like jobs and stuff like that, but like relationships. And it's just like the constant gaslighting of, oh my goodness, you're a bad person. And this is why you get the reactions that you get. And this is why I want to leave you, or this is why you're not good. And this, that, and the third. And it's just their toxic projections and they're putting it onto you. No, you never wanted me here. You never wanted me here. Okay. I don't know if it's a man thing. I don't know if it was a black thing. Because it was predominantly, okay, touching the white part of my palm, okay? And you just wanted to find a reason. And you got your reason. And I hope you feel validated. And I hope y'all, everybody that respected me, I nothing but love. I'm good. No, they really tried to break my spirit. And I think those couple days, it worked a little bit. Like, my spirit was a little bit broken. But I had to get up and be like, hold on. Remember who you are. Okay, I had to put that Black Panther line on there. Remember who you are, Sherry. Okay, because in that moment, I was Sherry. Okay, because I was at the point where goddamn T'Challa died, my mother died, and the man trying to take over my country. That's what I'm feeling. I had to just realize that things happen for a reason. They never wanted you here. You can continue to put that circle peg in that square hole, and it's not going to work. My only problem, my fault, is that I didn't notice this sooner and got the fuck up out of Dodge. But it's all good. It's all good. I'm very grateful to have the social media platform that is paying me, that the checks did come through. I did get paid from TikTok. Shout out to TikTok, even though TikTok be annoying me. I got tax refunds coming up soon. And I'm going to rack up on their unemployment checks. Okay.
Good for you.
And with that being said, we can get into the things. We have a lot to get into. Okay, we got to talk about the dealer. He strikes again. He's over here trying to say that CNN altered the video footage of him and Cassie. We'll get into that. Lizzo also speaks on her depression. Lil Nas X drops some new music. Anthony Mackie stirs up some conversations that I really wanted to get into. All that and more coming up on The Darren Green Show. Okay, so our first topic, unfortunately, we have to talk about the diddler because he made headlines. I'll read the excerpt and then I'll give you guys my thoughts. But Diddy's defense team continues to push back against the use of the key video in his upcoming criminal case. According to a new court document obtained by TMZ, prosecutors want to use the 2016 video showing Diddy allegedly assaulting Cassie at an LA hotel. However, Diddy's lawyers are claiming that CNN played a major role in the video's destruction. Okay. Now, they also say the defense and prosecutors jointly filed a letter about the evidence in a high-profile case. Defense claims that CNN purchased the only known copy of the hotel's surveillance footage and then altered it by using an editing software. Okay. The defense also argues that CNN covered up the timestamp, changed the video sequence, and even sped up the footage, making it appear as though the events took place faster than it really did. So they sped up the, that was the editing, they sped it up. That's it. No CGI, no augmentations to make it look like you was doing what you were doing. Okay. Well, the video was filmed in a intercontinental hotel in LA, but the hotel is now closed. No other footage of the incident exists. Allegedly, as a result, Diddy's defense team is planning to file a motion to exclude the altered footage from the upcoming trial. Now, CNN has responded. Okay, they released a statement denying all allegations from Diddy's legal team, claiming that the network altered and destroyed the 2016 video of the Cassie assault. They told USA Today that CNN never altered the video and did not destroy the original copy of the footage, which was retained by the source. All right. Sir, what do I have to say about this? Somebody said in the comments when I was looking through on the social media sites, child, they said, girl, how the footage was edited. They sped it up. Here's the thing. There was a direct quote from TMZ that said the Bad Boys record founder lawyer Mark claimed that a source gave CNN the footage and CNN ran through a free editing software. He says the CNN altered the video by speeding it up, taking things out of the sequence and removing the timestamps. Diddy's legal team says that the video is deceiving. But my whole thing is, so they was cutting things out, they was speeding it up. My whole thing, you get what I'm saying? You can't really make this shit up. We still see you being violent with her. Now, are you saying that, oh, it was edited because it didn't show what she did to me? Like, it cut out parts where maybe she was hitting on you first and then you did it in response? Is that what you're trying to say? Because my whole thing is, the way that the video looked, I don't care how much it was edited, and it was not edited. Anybody with a small understanding of video editing, and let me tell you something, I'm people. Because I have a whole system that edits my videos. I don't edit my, I don't cut and drop and all that other, I don't do none of that. Soon I'm open to learning. But I know when something is clipped. Everybody knows that something is clipped. Okay? I mean, that has to be, if that is some Disney, Marvel Studios level editing. I mean, even their editing is bad. Like, just think of your, like Universal Studio type, like, edit right there. Because, girl, how in the hell? I don't see no clipping. There was no clippings. Now, when you look at the video, it looks in real time. Like, it looks in regular pacing. It didn't seem sped up. And even if it was sped up, what is the point of even mentioning that if it was sped up? You was doing what you were doing. You were throwing her around. She was running away. She was running away, and you were trying to get her back into that hotel room to do whatever you were trying to do that day. And then my point is, why is he trying to pursue this aspect of everything that he's getting booked for? It's not the event that got him initially detained. It's not like his other cases that he has pending. I just feel like we're focusing on the wrong thing, maybe. But forget about the Cassie situation. Like, at the end of the day, you were the one that came out with the video and admitted to doing what you did and saying that you were in a different space and, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, yada, yada, yada. That's not a person that feels that I was defending myself, if that's the angle that you're trying to, because that's what it looks like, the angle that he's trying to pull here. It's just, it's you, it's Tory Lanez, and it's freaking R. Kelly. Y'all cannot accept defeat. Y'all did some deplorable things and you have to answer to your crimes. Okay. I don't have too much to say about him. I think we're done. This was going to be like a quick little topic because that was something that people were talking about this week, and CNN made their responses and all that. Like, girl, we've seen the footage. There's no going back. I would let them use that at this point. Let them use that in the court, because at the end of the day, I mean, even if they do throw this out and they're able to take this away from the actual case or the trial or anything like that, it's not going to help your case even more, because now everybody done seen the video. You can't erase that off people's minds and perceptions and stuff. Like, it's here and it's now. All right. I'm off this topic. Let's move on. We can get into my other topic. I do want to talk about Lizzo. Lizzo is having the time of her life. Okay, let me shout out to her.
Good for you.
Well, here's the thing. Thank you, Nikki. Here's the thing. During a recent Lizzo in Real Life show in Los Angeles, she revealed her upcoming album, Love in Real Life, was inspired by a dark chapter. She said in quotes, about a year ago, I was in such a dark and deep depression. I was heartbroken by the world and so deeply hurt that I didn't want to live anymore. Oh my goodness, this is, we're getting serious. She recalled how a simple hug from a stranger helped her heal. And then it was 10 people. And then it was 100 people showering me with love and support. And it's effing life-saving. You can't get this on the internet. And this kind of love you can only get in real life. Now, Lizzo said that she wasn't seeking sympathy, but connection. I see what she's doing here with a lot of the songs. It's very rock inspired, which is very interesting. It's an interesting direction. Lizzo she's not a one trick pony. She's going to give you, they called her a rapper one time. I never thought she was a rapper. I know she was a pop star. She make pop music. She make R&B-esque type pop music. Okay. A little bit of soulful. You get what I'm saying? Do I get into the new stuff? I mean, this is her single, Still Bad, as you can see on the screen. I don't know. I mean, I like, it's okay to me. Like I said, this is not my genre. This is not my jizz. I might have to grow into it, just like how I grew into Cowboy Carter, because I'm being real honest. When I heard it, I was like, okay, this is going to be, I'm going to sit this one back. But then when you further listen to it and you get into the lyrics and all this other stuff, then it hits you. With music, it always hits me a little bit later, because I know I did that video on Gaga's album. It's now starting to grow on me. And I never said it was a bad album. So before y'all sit there, because I've seen some of the comments, I was like, I never said that it was a bad album. I just said, I just need time to let this music process. But no, Killer is definitely, that's a good song. That's, you know, she clocked it there. Back to Lizzo. I don't know. I just wish that, you know, she said that she was battling a lot of like traumatic experiences and stuff like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe showcase the music that showcases that. Because it seems like you're happy now and you made it across the rainbow. But sometimes in music, we want to see you in that state, even though that's the past tense. You get what I'm saying? I know a lot of people felt a way about when Beyonce did Lemonade and it was all like anti-Jay-Z. And we thought the girl was about to like literally divorce his ass, to come to find out everything that she sung about was in the past tense. And she was basically telling a story of what she was going through for the past couple of years being with him, and they're over the rainbow. They made up and everybody was mad about that. But I like that. I think that's, you're showing us the good, the bad, the ugly, and then showing us that you came back and you're back into that. This song that she just put out here, that's your last song on the album. You get what I'm saying? I'm going to hear it out. I'm going to hear this album out. I might do a reaction video. You might see that coming in the coming of days, because honey, I got a lot of time on my hands now. I thought it was interesting. Tell me what y'all think about it in the comments, if you can comment. I just don't know. Now, somebody else that has been dropping new music. Okay, Lil Nas X. Where he at? Where's Finance? He had an interesting rollout this week. Okay. I just want to talk about him for a second before we get into some any more serious topics. But Lil Nas X dropped new music all week, like each day of the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, into his lead single, I believe, Hotbox. So he's dropped 5 songs, which I didn't listen to the other songs, but I did listen to a little bit of Hotbox. The visuals it mirrors Super Bass a little bit. He got the little pink pool with the pink Lambo and the dudes in the swimwear and all this other stuff. Like, you know, Lil Nas, this was a good visual. Let me just say this. This was a good visual. This was, you know, his quirky and eccentric style. I mean, he even said a comment, this is like my Pink Friday out era or whatever. People saying, oh, look, it's Nas Mirage again. I like it. Let me tell you something. I think that I wish we would have came, and I'm going to say this all the time. I say this all the time. I wish we would have came in with this music. I wish we would have came in, because I feel like it's not relying too much on gimmicky. We're like going back into, okay, I'm dropping this, I'm dropping that. He's understanding now that it's different now. It's definitely, he's been dropping stuff and it has not been, I'm not saying it hasn't been received well, because he does this was received well. Like, his Hotbox song is, I think it's like at 700,000 streams on Spotify. Like, people are listening. And it is a good song. Don't get me wrong. I can't play a little bit of it because obviously for copyright reasons. But it is a good song. I definitely felt like it, what do I say about it? What do I think about this? Let me look at my notes. I think it is catchy. I feel like, I sound like Sheree Child. I love the beat. No, but I mean, the beat was good. And I love how it has an old, early 2000s-esque R&B mixed with rap type vibe. Like, he's gonna give you that. And the thing about it is, though, I know my takes on Lil Nas X in the past, you may think I'm a hater, shot. I'm very critical. I think that he is a talented artist. I'm not gonna say he's an icon, child. We can't get icon status too early in the game, child. But his marketing strategy when it comes to releasing music is iconic. You get what I'm saying? You mean to tell you dropping a new song every day of the week into your lead single? You just dropped the EP on us, like, each day. It was like, I think that's kind of dope. I think it's dope, even though it didn't really have that much attention. I don't know if the label is trying to shelve him or anything like that, because it was not a lot of ads. He's not on any of the play. They're not putting him on any of the DSPs. I don't know what's going on with that, but one thing Lil Nas X is gonna market that damn project on his back. Okay. He don't need the label, child, and apparently the label don't need him, child. I also put here too that Lil Nas X is in a point in his career where he has to win over the general public again. Now, if you don't care about that, Lil Nas, then that's fine. Then make music for your niche. But if you want to get back to that Old Town Road status, yeah, you're going to have to win over the general public. And we already got people in the comments talking about something like, oh my God, like he relied too much on his queerness or his sexuality to influence his music and this, that, and the third. My whole thing is, don't everybody put their sexuality in the imagery? Not imagery, imagery. They put sexuality in their music. When you think about all these women artists or straight male artists, the women artists talk about dudes and how they can flip it, eat it, drip it, or whatever you want to call it. The boys talking about how many girls they got. You know what I'm saying? And Lil Nas X wants to talk about how many boys he got. You know what I'm saying? So what's the issue? Everybody does it. No, he's not, like I said before, he's not Frank Ocean. He's not going to give you those innuendos that is open-ended and not use pronouns. So that it can seem, oh, he could be talking about a girl or a boy. Who knows? And I can relate to this because I can imagine myself thinking about a girl when I listen to music. I don't see how people listen to music like that. I listen to, and maybe it's just the curse of me listening to just a wide variety of genres. Like, I've listened, there's country songs that don't get into country, but there are some country songs from natural country artists that I listen to. There's pop music, there's R&B, rap. I even get into some of the rock and roll, and I don't relate to any outside of hip hop and R&B. I don't relate to any other genre or any other art. Like, I listen to Taylor Swift. I don't relate to her at all. You get what I'm saying? I don't have to relate to her or understand, or, you know, I have to be in sync. So when I hear her lyrics, I can just imagine myself. And it's like narcissistic a little bit, maybe not narcissistic, but a little self-centered. I listen to music for the storytelling, what I'm trying to feel off of it, not me picturing myself in the song, if that makes sense. So at the end of the day, Lil Nas X may be talking about the dudes that he getting and how he can flip it, do all this other thing to the moon and sky and all that stuff like that. That don't make it, just because you don't relate to it don't mean that it's not no good music. And you could be blocking your blessings, because it could be some really good songs out there that you might not relate to, but it's really good. I don't know. It's, honey, I'm back to yapping again, honey. I think that his song Hotbox was good. How I see this impacting the charts, like I said, if he wants to get back to that status again, he's going to have to win over the general public, whatever that may look like. But if he's not trying to do that, I mean, that's fine. Make music to serve your niche. And he has a lot of fans. Contrary to popular belief, Lil Nas X has a lot of fans, and they will support him. I see that he has a big queer following now, because I feel like we've gone past the, oh my goodness, like the mean gay. Because there was a lot of gays that were coming for him. And I'm just like, yo, he already gets dragged by the straight people show. why are we adding insult to injury? And I do feel bad for adding on to that with the whole Jay Christ thing. I just feel, look, at the end of the day, Jal, don't poke the bear. Okay, don't poke. There's just certain topics that we just can't get into. If you want to tell a message, fine. Then tell your message, honey. Say the message. But if you want to be a star and you want to be mainstream again and get back into that limelight, you got to be for all people. And at the end of the day, isolating your, because I believe he had fans in the general public that also were religious and were probably offended by that era. I felt like that was addressed in your first album, and then we tried it again with this new rollout, and it didn't work out. I don't think he should ever go back. And I still, 10 toes down, he should not go back into the religion aspect of things. Everybody, look, at the end of the day, because there's stuff that people will say about us, and we get offended by it, and we're 10 toes down on you shouldn't have those views, or you shouldn't say that because it's X, and Y, and Z, homophobic, xenophobic, whatever, phobics and isms. You get what I'm saying? We got to keep that same energy when it comes to people and their religion. People, that's something that people take serious. Even though that's something that I don't get into, I'm not a Christian. I have no problem with Christians. You get what I'm saying? Love who you love, worship who you worship, child, do what you do. That's just that on that. I feel like I am going a little bit over, child. We can move on off of that because speaking of all that, right? Because I feel like this kind of connects a little bit. I don't know if it does, but Anthony Mackie, he went viral, okay, this week because he got on an interview, right? He did a sit-down interview with The Pivot, and he spoke about how the American male is dead in this country and says that they killed masculinity in our homes. Okay. All right. So here's a little bit what he had to say, and I'm actually going to play this video, child.
My boys are humble. Like, my boys have never had a pair of Jordans. My boys don't do all that internet fly shit. I'm like, your kids. And no, I don't give a fuck. I could be the biggest star in the world. Do not let me catch you being stupid. Do not. And my oldest gets it. My 15-year-old, he tell the other ones, he's like, yo, don't make dad mad. Because once you get one that's right, he gonna straighten the other ones out. Mm-hmm. So it's just that thing of, in the past 20 years, we've been living through the death of the American male. They have literally killed masculinity in our homes and our communities for one reason or another. But I raised my boys to be young men. And however you feel about that, you feel about that. Right. But my boys will always be respectful. They will always say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. They will always say thank you. They will always open a door for a lady. They will always make sure that their mother is taken care and provided for. They will always be men. And that's always, since they were 2 years old. Every time I left for a job, I tell my 15-year-old, you're the man of the house. Mm. You make sure these doors are locked every night, this alarm is on, you text me or you call me every night before you go to bed and you wake up.
I love that.
Because we're men. If I'm not there to protect, he got to be there to protect. Because you can have all the money in the world, climb through the window, that money means nothing.
Right.
You can have all the celebrity in the world.
Okay, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop him because he goes on, and I don't want to play too much of the video. But here's my thing, because, you know, I always have a thing. You know, I always have something to say, child. I think we're it's a misuse of the word masculine. I think that the way he opened up this argument should have been full stop. The moment when he brought up, oh, the American male is dead and that they've killed masculinity in our homes, is giving red pill mag vibes. And I know that's not him. I just think that he minced his words a little bit here. Before I'm going to preface this, before we say anything, I don't think that he should be canceled and held accountable or whatever the case is. This was a conversation on social media that I'm responding to on my platform. Everybody has the freedom to do that. Have nothing against Anthony Mackie. He's a great actor. I loved him in a lot of roles. I watched a lot of his stuff. He's really good. I got to say that before y'all sit there and be like, oh my God, you're trying to cancel him. You a hater. You got to understand that's how he raises his family. And that is okay. That's fine. But the wording in masculinity is dead in this country, or the American male, That's just, that couldn't be so farther from the truth. Because when you said, I teach my kids to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to open the door for women and to make sure that when I'm not here, you make sure the alarm is on, you make sure the door is locked, text me that everything, keep updates, this, that, and the third, you do what you got to do, teaching them to be tough, teaching them to, if something go down, you got to do what you got to do, teaching them to behave, not to the part where he said, don't be stupid when I'm not around. You're teaching them to be good Samaritans. Masculinity, you cannot be masculine and have all of those attributes. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had responsibilities when my mom was in, was when my dad went to his job, and it was just me and my mom in here. Yes, I set the alarm, locked the doors, I took out the trash. At one point when I was a kid, I was saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, respecting my elders, doing all those things. Did it femininely. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? There's not one way to be a man. So I think when we use the word masculine, because masculinity is just, it's just like a personality trait. That's something that you pick up when you are growing up into your manhood. You either go to the masculine side, you act more masculine and tough and hard and stuff like that, which can be natural for most men. And I do think some men just put it on as a costume just because they want to stick to status quo. And then there's some men that are a more effeminate. And they can have those same attributes, have those same good upbringings. I think he wanted to say good Samaritan. You're teaching your kids to be good Samaritan, good people. You get what I'm saying? I just think when we get into that masculine conversation, I'm just like, okay, really? We know what you are trying to say. Because like I said, I have had all those attributes in my coming of age and growing up. And even still to this day, I give women respect and I don't say certain things or go off the rails. I do all those things. Does that make me masculine? No, because that's not my personality trait. It's a personality trait. And I think that, I just think that men can have these attributes, these positive attributes while upholding their masculinity, or they can have those attributes and be more effeminate. It's not one way to be a man. It's multiple ways. And I don't think that there's an attack on masculinity, because that's what this conversation was leering into, this attack on masculinity. I don't think that's happening. I think that some men, and I do mean some men for the fellas in the back, okay? Some men have an understanding that there's just not one way to be a man. And that can still make you manly. It doesn't lessen your manliness of how you act, how you carry yourself, what you say, what you don't say, what you wear, what you don't wear, or whatever the case is. It's just, it's, I don't know. I mean, I think that this conversation is, it's not a touchy subject, but it's definitely like a conversation that still, we still having them same damn things. Ultimately, he was just using the wrong terminology, and I think he missed the mark for me. He also made a comment about playing gay roles and stuff like that and talking about the stigma behind like black straight men. And that's the part that got me too, because a lot of people was like, oh, he said that part good. I was going to play audio from that. But he basically talked about how like he grew up in the South and how he grew up, like when you are growing up in the South, you grow up homophobic, and how when he went to school, his mind opened. That's what happens when you go to college. So you be around people that you don't normally be around when you were in your hood or in your hometown. Like, he had a gay roommate. He had gay friends and he had relatives that ended up being gay. And he learned that these are just people that wanted to be loved. I mean, that's a interesting story. And I love, he said that before that conversation, we were talking about masculinity. He said that, and he talked about how he started to play gay roles because just to fight the stigma, which is a really good thing. But you say all that, and then you go into saying, well, I'm teaching my boys to be men and masculinity is dead. And this is not what you said, but it's what is implied, is that you are training your kids to be straight. And that's the equivalent of a girl saying, I got a gay best friend, but I'm going to be upset, or I'm going to beat my child, or whatever the case is, if my son ever became gay. Like, that's how it sounds a little bit. I might be going a little bit overboard. I don't care. I'll die on that hill. But that's just what it implies, even though that's not what he's saying. Now, I might be wrong. It is what it is. Like I said, I still respect the dude. He definitely did his thing as Captain America and all of the other roles he did when he did that role in Black Mirror. I was like, okay, you get what I'm saying? He is not new to this, okay? But I don't know. I mean, I think that the whole masculinity conversation, that girl, in this climate too, where we got this person, this nutcase that's in office is trying to sit there and be like, oh, we need more masculine men and da da da, and trying to get rid of the girl. At the end of the day, it's multiple ways to be a man, just like it's multiple ways to be a woman. Not every woman is effeminate. And that's okay. It's fine. People are fickle. Okay? There's different types of people. There's no one way. That's just my overarching point, child. And we can move on. All right. I did want to talk about Wendy Williams for a little bit because she got on The View. Okay? And she spoke out on her, well, she spoke about her guardianship, okay? And here's a little bit of what was said in that View interview.
Legendary broadcaster, we know that. You broke the mold. I know you love the work. How do you keep your spirits up when you really are not doing what you love to do?
Let me tell you something, Sonny, and I'm glad that you're talking with me about that. I am a college-educated woman. I'm a global the international person from radio to television. I've been doing important things all of my life, and these two people don't look like me, they don't dress like me, they don't talk like me, they don't act like me, and I venture to say they will never be me. I need them to with my knees, get off my neck.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Gina Lisa, I want to bring. Oh, go ahead, Wendy.
I can't do it with these two people again. I can't. And I'm speaking of the guardian.
And the guardians.
Mm-hmm. And the judge. I need a new guardian.
And I'm going to stop here because I wanted to bring that part up where she says she needed a new guardian. In which I'm just gonna say things, and this is not me trying to backtrack or say that maybe she needs two things could be true at the same time. Wendy might still have some cognitive issues because I know a lot of people are in the comments and a lot of people are saying what she sounds like. She sounds like her normal self. Yes, she does have moments where she sounds like her normal self, but like she has moments like this. What you mean you need a new guardianship? I thought we were trying to break from the guardianship in general and go back to your family. Two things could be true. She could have these cognitive issues, but also she should not be under this guardianship. I think she should go back to her. She should be managed by her family, her niece, especially because her niece has definitely been fighting 10 toes down with this guardianship to try to get her back and get her home so she can see her family. But I do think that there is something up here because the fact that she says she wants a new guardianship, it confused me a little bit. And we know that when it comes to like rich people or famous rich people, you know, a guardianship, once they're incapacitated or they have cognitive issues, we know that guardianships can be toxic and they can use her money for, you know, whatever their little payouts. We wouldn't be having this conversation if Wendy was not rich. She would have been with her family. So the fact that this is a system that's going on is because of the fact that she has money and the fact that they're exploiting her. I don't think a new guardianship is going to help. I think they're probably going to do the same thing. Because their whole thing is, okay, she has these cognitive issues. She needs to be put in a place where she does not have the freedom and she can't go out if she wants to. This is bad. I mean, it really is bad. I think doing this media circuit is also not painting her in the right way because she's doing all these interviews and we're saying things and we have these profound moments, but it doesn't go nowhere because you're still in the same spot. You're getting the word out there. That's good. But what are we doing legally to get you out of where you are at? I'm pretty sure the niece has already got things in place. I know nothing. You get what I'm saying? I'm just the outsider just looking in. But I'm thinking that the media is not, it's not helping anything. Just personally, I just feel like it's not helping. Is it making things worse? Well, it's going to get to a point where they're probably going to have to take her phone. They're going to take, her communication will be completely gone. She did a TMZ documentary. She just came on The View, which is a really big show right now. She's been doing a lot of different, she's been on again, off again on The Breakfast Club. I don't know. It's a lot going on. I want her to get the help that she needs. I want her to go back to her family. And I don't know if she'll ever go back to doing, because we see Sonny asking, like, oh, you're unable to do the things that you love. I don't think she'll ever be back on a television show, of course, but also I don't think she can even do a podcast. I think that Wendy just needs to just go home with her family and live the rest of her days in peace. Okay? Because she's been through a lot. And it's sad to see her in these interviews. And I don't know. It's just not a good look. Just me personally. But y'all gonna tell me what y'all think in the comments. Now, we can get to the reality tea of it all, of this show, before we get on up out of here. There's a series of topics in reality TV that I want to talk about. There's two shows in particular that we are going to highlight on. It's Real Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine, as these are the only shows that I'm really watching. And we are going to give you the Real Housewives of Atlanta. We're going to give you the tea. We're going to give you the rundown tomorrow. Well, no, Tuesdays. Tomorrow's the show. Tomorrow would be Monday, which is today. Tuesday, I'll give you guys the rundown of episode 2. But we do have to talk about these ratings. These ratings are very shocking. It says here that the Real Housewives of Atlanta season 16 premiere made a rough debut, hitting an all-time ratings low with only 723,000 total views and a disappointing 0.18 rating in the covert 18 to 48 demo. So it's a significant drop. I mean, the lowest ratings of the franchise. Lowest ratings of the franchise. What do we do wrong? And my thing is this, I enjoyed the show. I definitely felt like there was definitely some sleeper moments. I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to lie. There were definitely sleeper moments, but I don't think that this show deserved that much of a bad ratings. And how I'm going to mix this topic into another topic, because NeNe, she had her show and basically she talked about like why reality TV has changed and is not what we used to. She got her own little talk show, girl. This is what she said, essentially.
To reality TV now, and I would love to get your thoughts. Social media has ruined it some, not all, some of the reality stars play up to the cameras.
They do.
Play up to their fans. Play up to the people, to the comments. Yeah. And they now feel the need to just...
They're not being their authentic selves.
You said it.
And that's one of the things that I said to myself season one when I started. I said to myself, if I don't be myself, this is not going to work. Because maybe my first couple of weeks of shooting, I didn't feel like I was being myself. And once I became myself, that was the best thing I could have done for me, because that's when the fans really loved me, just me being me. You really have to be your authentic self. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Everything is produced. You can't come in and have a fake boyfriend. You can't come and have a fake life. None of that works. If your life isn't going good, then show that, because there's always someone that can relate to that.
Yeah. I think the relatability of reality TV has definitely played a part into why a lot of people are not getting into the things. And I've said that in previous episodes of the shift of before it, what we did want to see someone's grandiose life and big mansions and the Kim Kardashian. That's why the Kardashian show is not really doing well. It's not that it's not doing well. They're always going to have their ratings, but they're not, it's no longer like legendary television anymore. It's no longer, oh my God, did you see that recent episode? Because we're showing a life that is unattainable to the average viewer. I don't want to see that. And it's not on no jealous type shit. Because I still watch Housewives of Atlanta, because I'm a super fan. I'm one of those people that's just going to, I'm going to watch that till the wheels fall off. But like a lot of people, they probably don't like to get into knowing that all this turmoil and all this and how the economy is and stuff like that. And we're watching these people live these unattainable lives. We don't see ourselves in these characters, in these cast members anymore. When NeNe and them first came on, I'm not saying NeNe, and I feel like I'm saying this, I sound like a broken record, because I feel like I talked about this in a previous episode, but like when we first saw NeNe, NeNe wasn't the NeNe that we knew now. She may have had a big house, but she definitely had, she had some upbringings. Sheree also had a fashion with no fashions. You get what I'm saying? It was stuff like that was iconic, that kind of was like, girl, what? Like, how you gonna have a fashion show and you ain't showing no fashions? Honey, you got concepts of a fashion. Entertaining now, it's all, oh my God, I got this new mansion. I got a elevator that goes to my personal closet. And this, I got this man that makes a lot of money. It's just, what are we saying? What are we doing? The drama is not even looking real. When we saw that girl Kelly come for Portia, it was so forced. And then they didn't actually talk about why social media, because this clip that I showed you about NeNe, they didn't really talk about why social media is also ruining reality TV, but I'm going to say it because I feel like I got the first good 8 minutes of episode 2 where Portia is going after Drew, which is probably going to be the highlight of the show because I didn't care about any other scene that they gave us, like any sneak peek. Why are you giving these social media sites that cover reality TV, y'all giving them the footage before the show drops? That's such a disservice to the episode. Because if I can watch it on Instagram, what's the point of me turning on my TV? You get what I'm saying? And the fact that to watch it on demand, you got to wait a day for it to come on Peacock. I ain't got time for that. People don't have time for that, so they don't watch. Also, they changed a lot. I mean, and I also think that it just has to do with like people wanting the old cast to come back. And these people have lived different lives. They're not the same people anymore. You put these people together in a cast again, you're not going to capture lightning in a bottle. You're just not going to keep it in there. It's not going to work because it's just like these people are living different lives. It's not the same. So you can want that if you think that's whatever. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like we're over reality TV in general. Like, it's like, it gets to a point where it's like, how many times are we going to sit there and just sit in a room and argue, throw glasses, throw drinks, lie to eye? Because these people do not share their real lives. These are liars. These are, especially if you want to talk about the Potomac girls, how they lie and scheme and cheat their way into success, whatever that means. Yeah. It's weird. And then we have other franchise cast members that are dragging the other black shows, like Toya Harris. You heard about Toya? Toya sat there and was talking about how she watched the first episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta, and it was nothing but Botox and filler, and it's giving Nicki Minaj. Girl, take a look at this.
I did.
You like it?
Absolutely. Okay. I did. I like it a lot. It's a lot of Botox and fillers.
Oh, from who?
Which
from
I am
who's,
not.
Who's doing the most?
Man, I saw Nicki Minaj on there. I saw Lil Kim.
Who's Nicki and who's Kim?
Them two ponytails. And the other one was like this smile that was not in. It was like, really?
Oh, they're not seeing the right doctors.
Yeah, my God.
They have to get her to medicine.
Now, she made this comment. Portia made her comment also basically saying, to be honest, the girls from the Real Housewives of Atlanta have always supported each other's shows on the network. And for me, definitely Married to Medicine, as a black woman, to talk about someone's features and pick apart the Atlanta girlies is really sad. We may shade one another on our show, but keep it in house. We haven't been out here tearing down someone else's. So that's what Portia said. I do believe Toya responded and what did she say, child? She said, Toya was like, girl, stop. You call another black girl ashy talking about Kenya. Not to mention you were a tad shady to our franchise under the Phaedra Parks post. You and I both know how these interviews go. I definitely stated a balanced view of good and bad. Don't jump down the bandwagon or whatever what she said. And then she goes on to say that I'm one of Nicki Minaj's biggest fans and I have nothing but love for her. It's not an insult. Yeah, no, because I know them bars are dragging her. Because what was the point of you bringing up Nicki Minaj? Why was you bringing up Nicki Minaj? Because Nicki Minaj has made it very clear way back when that she does not put in Botox. She never did nothing to her face. So what you mean? Yeah, no, she had to clean that up because them bars are dragging her ass, and rightfully so. I think that, yeah, this does look like Toya was just mad that the girls was giving them shade or whatever. Look, you girls are mean girls. You are mean girls. People are responding. We all watch the same show. We all are watching what's happening on Married to Medicine. And at the end of the day, y'all should be nothing but grateful for Real Housewives of Atlanta, because if it was not for Real Housewives of Atlanta, there would be no Married to Medicine. There would be no Married to Medicine, okay? There wouldn't be a care of filming shows for Bravo in Atlanta if it was not for the Real Housewives of Atlanta and what it did. Okay. And for you to talk about people that getting work done as if people not at your place didn't get work done. Boob jobs, ass jobs, all that stuff, all them jobs done. You included, Toya, because I remember you was thin as a French toast stick. So it doesn't make any sense. And then also, you like, I don't know if it's if they're trying to create buzz for their show. The buzz, you ran them off the show. Like Phaedra, like you literally, and I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad that the next episode is the season finale, because after Phaedra left, it got dry. I don't care about your arguments. And now we're seeing Simone pick fights with Quad because they can't use Phaedra as a punching bag because Phaedra didn't show up. It's so overly, as Heavenly would say, it's so overly produced, and so it's tacky, and it's going to get to a point where it's going to really affect your ratings. Your ratings weren't that good either. Just because, okay, Warehouse Plaza of Atlanta is definitely looked at crazy right now, but your ratings, because I guess Atlanta is doing so bad that it doesn't look that bad on y'all. Sometimes, and one thing I'll say about Jaguar Wright, she said a person that, when she talked about like the person with different shirts, she said like the person with a okay, clean shirt, like it's not all the way clean shirt, is going to stand next to the person with the dirty white shirt. You get what I'm saying? And not next to the person with the super, super duper clean shirt, because they want to look good next to the worstest person. I feel like that's what's going on right now. Is Married to Medicine is doing subpar views. But it's not like the Atlanta girls. Y'all got record lows. So it makes us look good. And it's just like, where's the camaraderie? There's only three black shows on there. And y'all acting like this. Like I said, y'all are living up to the mean girl allegations. Okay. And with that being said, we are done today. We are done. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's a little bit of a late one. So it's going to be crazy on the edits, but I'm good. It's all good in the neighborhood. As I said before, you're gonna see me a lot. Okay, we're gonna do a lot of content here. I think this is an absolute win, and I think that just gotta move on. Just gonna keep applying. I got career fairs to go to this week, so the skies is gonna be the limit. And at the end of the day, this is the first day of the rest of my life. Anyway, see you guys later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.